You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and good evening, and welcome to the Rangers Rabble podcast. It's Monday night, you know the drill by now. It is the phone in, 01416287237. Don't call yet, and the number starts going along the bottom of the screen. We'll be ready to take your calls. Maybe you've bought the bunting, you've booked the hall, the party's in full swing, or maybe you've been a bit more low-key about it, take it game by game. Let us know how you're reacting to being top of the league after the weekend's results. Maybe you want to talk about the St John's game or the Hearts game coming up. Get your calls in and we'll talk all things Rangers. Delighted to say I'm joined by Connor, Brian and Lewis this evening. Everyone in fine fettle. Connor, how are we doing?
Aye, listen, absolutely top notch. Very, very good weekend there. Could not have been better, to be fair. So, no, absolutely delighted and excited to get into it all the right and to see what the remainder of this campaign is going to be bringing us.
Absolutely. Brian, you're sitting there. That's the happiest I've seen you in months. How are you doing?
Not bad. Yeah, it's been a marvellous weekend, you could say. It couldn't have went better, to be honest. Well, could have went if Kilmarnock scored two instead of one, but beggars can't be choosers, but it's nice to be sitting top of the tree.
And Lewis, how are you, my man? You're in the same mindset as me. We're going to go full positivity tonight, so I'm looking forward to that.
Aye. It's nice viewing for the tap, so can't complain. I mean, it shows the evolution. We were fuming that we conceded that one goal to Ross County to not get the goal difference, but it was fine because a wee Kilmarnock performance helped us get there at the weekend, so not too shabby.
Delighted. Okay, troops, as I say, get your comments in, like, subscribe. Any decent ones, we'll pull them up, we'll chat through them. But most importantly, we want your calls, 01416287237. Mark will fire the number across the bottom of the screen. The phone lines will then be open. Get through to him and get your points through to the guys. But, okay, we know where to start. Connor, we're top of the tree. The title challenge is in full swing. And we're going to be leading the pack.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Not sure what the question there is right enough, but I think, listen, this is the position that Clermont's been working towards clearly. You know, we wanted to call back the points at first and just, you know, get close to them, keep putting and applying that pressure on and hoping that they blink. And listen, we've done that. And I think Clermont, what he's been able to do in the time he's been in, you know, he's had, 22 wins for 26 games. And I think there's only been one defeat in there. That's just an extraordinary run of form, considering what he inherited in the first half of this season. So for him to have not just called it back, but now overturned it. I mean, it's a 10-point swing he's now oversaw in our favour. and it can only get better for here. And of course, the reality is we have an even bigger opportunity that we can go 5 points in front before they kick a ball again, and that's huge. It just looks like right now we're motoring, we're handling the players, look like they're handling the pressure. You know, they've had opportunities, as we said. You know, people maybe during the week a bit disappointed that we didn't go top on goal difference, but you'd rather be top on points than goal difference all day long, and that's exactly what we've ended up doing. So, no, I'm delighted with what I'm seeing, but you know, much like the mentality of the players and the manager, you take each game at a time, and you've got to keep reeling them off, keep getting them ticked off as you start to run down towards the end of the season.
Brian, the question I was probably alluding to was the fact that, you know, we've not been in this position an awful lot in terms of, you know, leading the pack and you know, welcoming the chase, as they say. It's going to take a different sort of mentality, but one that we can already see a shift in under the manager already.
Absolutely. But more crucially, Clement has been over the course of this before. He's won leagues before, so he knows what it takes to get over the line. And obviously, we've still got a few players that won our last league, so they know what it's like to win a league. So, you know, there is enough experience in there to get us over the line. And there's the hunger from the younger players that have joined, like Cortez and Diamandi, who played yesterday. And, you know, there's a few experienced heads in there. So there's all the makings of us, you know, going full throttle for this. I mean, there was maybe a slight frustration yesterday in the first 30 minutes, because obviously I don't even think we had a shot on goal up until, you know, our first goal. But it took us all about 30 seconds to start the top of the league tunes. So that was, you know, the Bears were in good voice yesterday. It was a great away day. And, you know, it's almost as though even though we're 0-0 or we're drawing, we expect to win. There's no sort of panic now. It's just excitement, and the fans are, as you say, fully on board the Clement train. And, you know, it's just brilliant to be around. If you turn the clock back to the first Old Firm of the season where we lost 1-0, you know, that was the most toxic I'd ever seen Ibrox for a long, long time. And the difference from that to now is just night and day. And it's just great. And buckle yourselves in, folks, because this is going to be a great title run.
Indeed. Listen, John is the first call tonight. John, welcome to the Rangers Ramble podcast.
Hi there.
How are you doing, mate? All right, what's your point for the guys?
All right. Yeah, I was just wondering if maybe, I think maybe Europe might just be, we could maybe be doing without Europe the way things are going right now. I think, you know, sometimes you can just have a wee bit too much on your plate. I know it might just be the two games. I wouldn't be too terribly disappointed if that was all it was, because I think the longer you go, it can cause a bit of a problem when you're at right, the situation we're in the league. I think if we were a bit behind, I don't think it would bother me so much. I would look forward to it more.
Lewis, is there an argument to make the other way, though, that, you know, winning breeds that habit and you know, that positivity?
Listen, I fully understand the mindset that there is games that are more important than others, but when you are part of Rangers Football Club, unfortunately, we're one of the biggest on the continent, so every game is important, whether that be a Champions League game against a team that we've got no hope in hell and beating away from home, or it's playing bottom of the league at Ibrox, they matter just the same. And I think the manager will have that exact same mentality. I'm pretty sure he had a few decent results way in his time at Bruges in the Champions League, and I think he'll want to, you know, add on to the best result with Rangers. And listen, we've got a reputation to uphold in the Europa League. We've been one of the best teams in it for the past 3 or 4 years, and given a decent draw, I think the manager and the squad will want to continue at least past one round, but you just hope it doesn't derail anything, and like you said, it will be, you know, winning breeds winning. So I hope that'll be the case. But for me, that Europe always matters.
John, you think, from what you've seen from the manager in the short time, he'll be saying, you know, we could do without Europe? Surely not.
I just feel that it's kind of, because of the situation we're in at the top of the league, like, I mean, if we were 7 points behind, I would be looking forward to Europe more. I wouldn't have the same kind of anxiety about it. I just feel possibly he's still a relatively new manager. You know, the team's still relatively new with him. Give him a wee chance to get his breath back a bit and maybe do get into it next season more. You know, but I think we're in this situation now. I just think there's a definite danger there.
Connor, I sort of got the feeling watching it on Sunday afternoon that there's more of a squad now. We've got a lot of players coming back. You're looking at the bench, Tom Lawrence is there, Dessers is coming off. You've obviously got the two new boys starting to, you know, find their feet. We seem to have, you know, players that can, so we can fight on all these fronts.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, listen, that's the thing. It's, you know, even without Europe at the moment, we are seeing that the squad seems to be sort of changing week to week, and there is a constant rotation. And Clement obviously believes in, you know, each one of these players that he's given the opportunities to. And we're having, you know, loads of people now available. Our bench, we're seeing it the weekend before the game in the build-up, that the bench starting to look a lot stronger because we've got players back now that are fit. There's still one or two that you'd want to get back in there. You know, I don't know what the script is with Kamar Roof, whether he'll get, you know, a couple of games by the time the European stuff comes back. But, you know, that's what you've got a squad there for, to use and to utilise. I mean, the two new boys coming in as well, you know, they are really fresh impetus into it as well. So you've got to just take it at a time. And I think let Europe take care of itself, really. We'll go as far as we go there. We don't know yet who will even be playing, you know. So a lot of the decisions that you make around that will be dictated to you by whatever draw you get. And I mean, I know it's not too far off, because I think it's the 7th of March, I think it is, that we're due to play. You know, but you just got to take care of it. Then this is what you want. You want to be firing on all fronts. I mean, right now, we're the only team who are still on firing on all fronts. I mean, there's a world, right, where technically we could win a quadruple. I'm not saying that we will, right, but we're in the hat for all of these competitions. And the longer you maintain that, I think it's a good thing for us as fans, for the club, and certainly financially. It's never a bad thing if you can get through one or two rounds in Europe as well. You know, so we'll wait and see. Listen, it's happened before. We all know, I think 2008, we got to the UEFA Cup final, and arguably that maybe cost us the league title that season. But I think our squad is a lot bigger than it was then. We've got a bit more at our disposal. So, no, I'm well up for Europe. You know, bring it on. Let's see who we get.
Bring them all on, indeed, Connor. I love that. John, thanks for your call, mate. Call on again, please. Cheers.
Okay. All right. Bye.
That was John with his point about Europe. Listen, there was a, just amongst all that, there was a tent, but there it goes. The producers pulled up £10 super chat, I believe. Jim Sloan, Lewis, staunch points, well said, mate. Yeah, Lewis, you were true and blue right there when you came up with that. I enjoyed that. Rallying the troops. Okie dokie. Yeah, get your calls in. You could be next to 141-628-7237. Brian, I'll come back to you just on, you know, the debrief from Perth, as it were. Let's talk about that first goal, Diamandé, because up until that point, you know, it was looking like it was going to be one of those afternoons, to be honest. But the boy just steps onto it on his weaker right foot, and it's an absolute zinger. And a great moment for him. That's going to do him the world of good.
Absolutely. It was his first start, so he grabbed it with both hands. And, you know, I didn't appreciate how technically good he was. You know, we haven't seen much of him. And that was the first chance you could see, you know, his touches and his, you know, he's one of these midfielders that's very lefty, if you know what I mean. He's always desperate to get on his left, but fair play to him. He took one touch and then just hit the sort of sliding shot away from the goalie. So it was a fantastic finish. On that pitch as well, I think Clement was very wise to say that we couldn't play our normal game, and that's probably why there was a lot more longer balls in the game because of the pitch. Couldn't play their sort of passing, quick passing game. So, you know, and then we've got Dujon Sterling popping up in the right wing. I mean, it was quite a remarkable afternoon. But no, it's Diamandé, from what I seen yesterday, is looking like a tremendous wee player, and we'll do well to hang on to him.
Oh, don't chase him away yet, Brian Cullen. Let us enjoy.
I'm just saying.
Chris in Falkirk is on the line as always. Chris, how you doing, mate? All right?
Yeah, not bad. How's everybody on the panel?
Listen, all the better for speaking to you, mate. What's your point for the guys tonight?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think Saturday is a must-win game because you look at their support. Their support's for Turnham. So if we could get a result on Saturday and go 5 points clear, that's just going to cause more anxiety and more stress and there's more likelihood that that away end support on Sunday will turn on the players. If they're not winning by 20 or 30 minutes, that's going to cause a lot of trouble in regards to booing the players and things like that. So I think that would only be a good thing if we can get this result on Saturday.
Lewis, it's certainly going to be a tough task at the weekend in the sense that, you know, Hearts are on a good run of form. They've got the top marksman in the league. You know, their defence has been absolutely fantastic, but this is going to be a different test for them come Saturday.
Oh, listen, you look at the fixture list, we've got five games before the Old Firm. Our next two games are our most difficult. Like, we're playing the third best team in the league. And that actually worries me a lot less than going to Rugby Park, which is the following game after that. So the next two games are absolutely pivotal. And if we come out of that with 6 points, I think there's a decent chance that Celtic drop some mirror because they've got some tricky ties as well. I mean, they need to go away to Hearts and that is not going to be easy, the form that both teams are in. Saturday's going to be a really, really tough test. It's just that the manager's bred something within the fan base. You actually feel confident in every single league game. Like Brian said, that against St Johnstone, I think it was like, I don't know when the goal was. It was like 25 minutes or something, 23 minutes. And before that, we were just struggling so much to create any sort of chances. And see, under Beale, I just would have thought, nah, that's it. 20 minutes in, I think we're already going to lose 1-0 here. But under Clement, it's a different mindset. You just fully believe, whether it took 2 to half penalties or no, we are still fully confident that we're going to win that game comfortably. And I seriously don't have any worries getting into the next two games, despite how difficult they might be on paper.
Chris, would you agree with what Lewis is saying? You know, the Kilmarnock away is a trickier tie of the two?
Yeah, I think Kilmarnock have shown this season they're capable of getting results, especially at Rugby Park. And I think it's if we could get over them two and hopefully they drop points again, hopefully that would put... I'd feel more comfortable if we were to get a four-point gap between us and them before the Old Firm game. Hopefully we can achieve that. But one thing I would say is, all we can do is win our games and look after ourselves. There's no point looking to see what they're doing. If we keep winning, we win the league. So that's the way it goes. But I think Keith rattled over in Celtic Park, Mr. Rogers, because I think he thought, come up here, he would get another couple of trebles and head back down the road. But you can tell his interviews saying it was only 5 points. He's rattled, and that's a good thing.
Conor, it's a point well made, isn't it? You can feel it in the air just from, you know, little snippets on social media and other sort of news outlets that their fans are on the turn. They're turning on their manager, they're turning on their board, they're turning on their captain. It's quite a scene.
It is quite a scene, and then, you know, somebody should really be doing some fact-checking for Brendan Rodgers as well, because he's talking nonsense. It was an 8-point gap. After 8 games, they were 8 points ahead of us because we'd lost, I think, 3 of our first 7, I think it was. Which sort of created that gap. 7 points, I'm being told by the producer. Either way, you know, so you can try and get around it by saying these things all you want. It doesn't wash. And listen, we have to just focus on what we are doing and you know, let whatever happens over there happen. Because if we do, you know, do the business, it's all within our control and our hands. I would hope that we can, because the one piece of the puzzle we are still missing for this campaign is a win over them. That's really important for me because, you know, despite the fact that we've just gone top of the league, that's another thing that they're still using as a sort of a stick to still try and beat us with, to say, well, you know, they're not dropping points to anybody except us because we are, you know, they still can't beat us. Well, you know, technically speaking, we don't need to beat them to win the league, but I'd still like us to do it. So that's going to be important. But look, what's given me confidence is that they're doing what we have done in previous seasons, where if they come back off the Christmas break, they're dropping silly points, you know, particularly in home games, because that's, I think, is it four games at home where they've dropped points this season. That doesn't usually happen. So, and conversely, we're doing what we should be doing and just ticking off the wins, however we get them. And that's all it's about. So, you know, they can spin their narratives in whatever way they like. The pressure is still on both teams, but they're under massive pressure. When you think about it, you go 5 points behind and we, you know, they go 5 points behind us and don't win on Sunday, then they're in trouble, really. So, no, I'm loving it. Long may it continue.
Chris, as always, thanks for your call, mate. Anytime.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Excellent. Listen, we're all on here, one about, you know, finals and titles and all the rest of it, and there's people worried about what's happening on Love Island tonight. Come on, guys. It's the Rangers Rabble 4 and 01416287237. Get your calls in. Be next on the podcast, chatting to the guys. Brian, it's back to you, mate. Every time we come to you, we get a phone call, so what may that continue? You did sort of mention before the phone rang, you were on about Dujon Sterling. Now, I think when the substitution was made, we'd all sort of hoped that Scott Wright was going to go off. I think that's an agreement that seemed to be the common theme in the Rabble chat anyway. But for Dujon Sterling to come on, a couple were scratching their heads, but absolutely brilliant. He's just, every time he shows up, he puts a shift in. He's so athletic, energetic. You know, we're running out of superlatives with the guy.
You're 100% right. I mean, I've seen somebody on social media saying, manager says to him, you're playing centre mid. He's like, yes, boss. And then the next time you're playing...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Number 10 role, yes, boss. Next time, you're going to play right wing, yes, boss. He just does exactly what it says in the tin. He's a all-action guy. I mean, that you would struggle to find most people on the team would have got to that sort of the touch for the penalty. You know, he made a lot of ground up there because it was touch and go whether he was going to get to it first, and he actually did. You know, and there's not, I wouldn't say, I haven't seen enough of Cortez to sort of decipher if he's a quicker player or not, but Sterling's definitely quicker than Wright, and he's just this all action energy guy, and he's just amazing. How he can sort of, you know, be able to play so many different positions and feel comfortable. It's a great credit to the lad. He's got a mature head for such a young guy. So, but no, he would be on my 11 every week.
And another one the manager seems to be utilising and getting the best out of. So, I said, you know, along with that, continue. Ian in Glenrothes is on the line. Ian, welcome to the Rangers Rabble podcast.
Evening, guys. All good amongst Rangers. We're top of the league. What more could you ask for?
Oh, no, it's like Christmas, isn't it? It's absolutely fantastic. What's your point for the guys?
There's a few points for the guys. Well, you've already mentioned the subject of Europe coming up. We are due to get back into that competition again. I'm of the opinion that we should like try and go for it. I know where there are other teams in it, the AC Milan, the Liverpools, and all that. But under Clement, I'm going to be a bit OTT here, but I fancy just to go to the Nou Camp and get something under Clement right now. He's installed such confidence. I think we could go to Barcelona and get something. But I mean, also the key factor as well, we're also, the next match is going to be, I know people mentioning Kilmarnock away, but I think the match on Saturday this coming match is going to be maybe more difficult because we're facing a Hearts team that, you know, they're in form. They've won a lot of games recently and Shanklin finds the goal. And we always seem to have a good luck against them. But, you know, our results, apart from the League Cup, we have had to like really, like the last game at Ibrox, we really had to work to beat them. We had to like, get the winner in stoppage time. So I think if we do a good job, if we win well on Saturday, I'm more confident than ever we're going to win this league. And also with Europe, why not have a go? Like, just go for it. You know, we went for it 2 years ago, nearly won it. And if we get the right draw, I fancy us in that as well. And yeah, let's be confident. Like, this manager is making me some confidence.
Okay, let's pick through them point by point. Lewis, I'll come to you first on Europe. You know, Ian's saying there, let's just absolutely go for it. Let's throw the bus at everything.
Well, like I said, the last caller that mentioned the European topic is, like, when you play for Rangers, unfortunately, you don't really get to pick and choose the game you're up for. You kind of need to be up for all of them, especially when you've got a manager like Clement in the dugout with that mentality. You know, he really does want to put us back on top spot in every sense of the word. And we definitely should be looking at getting past the next stage. It would be unquestionable. I mean, you've got Freiburg, Marseille, Sparta Prague, Sporting Lisbon, Rennes, Toulouse, Karabag, Roma, Galatasaray, Lens, Braga, Benfica, Feyenoord, AC Milan, Young Boys and Shakhtar. Bar AC Milan, Rangers should be looking to get through every single one of their ties with a good enough performance at Ibrox. And we've shown in the past that we can go away in Europe against better teams that are in that selection and get a result. So it would be pretty poor if Rangers did not at least try their best to proceed past the round of 16, and then we'll see where it goes for there. And by that point, we might already be 7 points clear anyway, so Europe might be the only thing that we actually get to be challenging.
Oh, I love that. Look how cold he was there, ice running through his veins. Connor, just on the second part of Ian's point there, just regarding domestically in the weekend, he feels that Hearts is going to be the trickier of the two, given that the last time they came to Ibrox. Would you go along with that? Would you say that, you know, Philippe Coman seems to be learning, you know, from game to game, and we've already played Hearts twice and beaten twice?
Yeah, listen, it is going to be a tough game. There's no doubt in that. You know, Hearts will be absolutely supremely confident that they can get a result because they've been in great form. They went to the other side of Glasgow and, you know, strolled it at their place basically and beat them 2-0, and that gives you teams like Hearts particularly that gives them confidence because they think, well, you know, we've been there and done it. We gave Rangers a real tough test the last time we came here. It took, you know, frankly a gift for Peter Haring when he pulled Conor Goldson's jersey to get us back into it. But I think we are learning from our mistakes, and I'm absolutely sure that we'll go out there and get 3 points on Saturday. You know, because at the end of the day, whatever Hearts do, however well they play, we are a better team than Hearts. So we should, as long as we turn up and do what we can do, we should be able to beat them. Kilmarnock is different because, for me, that's a harder game, simply on the basis you've got to go away there to that pitch, the very same pitch that the first game of this season we went to and lost and we failed to score. We never even looked like scoring in that game. Things are obviously much different now, and we'll see what happens. But for me, a midweek sort of evening match away at Rugby Park does concern me more than a 3 o'clock at Ibrox, because I said at the start of the show we should be able to beat anybody at Ibrox.
Ian, you know, is it a case of on Saturday, stop Lauren Shankland and you stop Hearts?
Well, that could be the easy answer, but he's going to be supplied by up. But you've got to stop the supply to Lawrence Shankland. It's not just stick Conor Goldson on Shankland, because he can just, like, it just takes one split moment from Shankland to get ahead and he'll put in. But you've got to stop the guys from getting the ball to him. It's, you know, who I can't think off the top of my head who the main guys are who provide the balls to him. But you've got to stop those guys, stop the supply, and then you might have, you do half the job. But He's the top scorer in the league for a reason. He finds a way. He hasn't blessed with pace, so he has to time his runs, like in a way Benzema used to always did that. And we've really got it. Like I feel like I want to see Goldson really do a good job on him, because he let Miowski get a little bit ahead of him, and we paid the price, and we nearly paid the price for it. I just feel like, you know, I just want to see the defenders, like, really. If you have to double up on Shankland, do it, because he's the thing that will put it in the net. He just puts it in the net for them wherever the angle is. He just has this sixth sense of where to be, and we've just got to maybe double up on him. but you've got to stop, but then double up on the people who are crossing the ball, who are giving him the ball. That's how you shut him down. But like your other guy mentioned, we are better than them. We've got to show it, but we haven't demolished them this season in the league. That's the only thing I'm thinking of. Apart from the cup, we haven't demolished them. And that's the only thing that I'm like, I want to see this Saturday. I want to see something that says we are better now than when we faced them before, because now we've put a job on them. They won't, but it will be a test. They will come for it. They will come for us. But that means if they open up, that means we have more chances. So let's get three more points, put the pressure on those bunch, and sail off in it to hopefully winning this league.
Excellent, Ian. Thanks for your call, mate. Have a good evening. Cheers.
Thanks.
Love that for me, and they're just referring to Connor as the other guy. Brilliant. And nice to see that you listen to the Scottish Football Show as well. Brian, I'll come to you on just some of the points that Ian made there, you know, especially in terms of the European stuff. I think Lewis makes a great point there. The draw could be fruitful. You know, there's not much to fear in there. Certainly off the back of how we play in the Europa League, it seems to be a competition that we shouldn't be fearing anyone at home.
No, shouldn't be. I think our Europa League run a few years ago shows that. You know, we played some serious teams in that run. You know, Borussia Dortmund and Leipzig. I mean, Leipzig, they're big spenders in Germany. So, you know, I mean, the last 16 of the Europa League is never going to be a cakewalk, let's be honest. It's not going to be a cakewalk, but everybody's there to be shot at the end of the day. It's a home and away affair, and there's not many teams that like coming to Ibrox. They've seen how the nights are at Ibrox when there's a full house and the fans are right behind the team. No teams will like that. You know, there was some serious big teams came to us in that run and, you know, fell off and, you know, couldn't cope with the pressure. So, yeah, it's as Lewis says, though, we qualify to get into Europe, you know, to try and win these things. There's no point in then just turning around and saying, oh, well, we've got the league, so we'll just chuck the Europe. I think somebody else said in the comments earlier, you know, in the chat, players prefer to play twice a week, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. You know, players prefer that. I certainly, when I was ever playing football, I preferred to play games rather than train. Training was a chore. But playing two games a week to these guys should be a cakewalk. So for me, we did that back a couple of years ago as well. So for me, Europe is and Clamont will want to make his stamp as, you know, authority on Europe. He'll be wanting to sort of set it up, you know, this season to go as far as we can and then say, right, next season we're going to do better.
Absolutely. Okay, then, we're at the halfway point, 0141-628-7237. Just like to say thank you, obviously, to the podcast sponsors, NordVPN. Link in the description to, I think it's still 66% off, probably put right if not. And also football prizes as well, some great memorabilia to be won there, signed shirts and instant prizes and all sorts of stuff. So do get involved there, link in the description as well. Yeah, okay, just to come back, Lewis, to the weekend's game. Now, again, I touched on it earlier on, just about the squad, and, you know, you kind of saw Todd Cantwell coming off on 55, 60 minutes, you know, wee shake of the head, didn't look too pleased, which you can understand, any player coming off not looking happy, but Big Phil gets him in, and there was a bit of a detailed discussion going on, and you know, maybe a bit of a reasoning and understanding, which is just so good to see. And when you've got as well, it's not like we've got quality coming off the bench now.
I mean, that's the sign of a truly experienced manager. I mean, there's really attention to detail to make sure that every single person in the squad feels like they've got a responsibility. And if they weren't performing or whatever, there's a reason for why the decision's been made to pull you off the pitch. Whereas the guy before, who has just been sacked for another job and his career is probably finished before it's really ever got started, would give a high five and let the player go and sit down. And then the player wonders and ponders, what have I done wrong? Why am I not performing? And then mental battles come in and then they don't perform. Whereas Clamont, he's honest. That's just what it is, that easy. He's honest and he's intelligent about the game. So if he takes a player off, then he tells them that it's for this reason. And it really is that simple. And you're totally right about the squad. I think it's absolutely phenomenal that you actually can look at our squad and go, we've got options on the bench. Like, Dujon Sterling is a Swiss Army knife. The only two positions he's not played is striker and in goals, and he's a phenomenal player. I would love to try him at centre-back. I think he'd be a really, really good centre-back. I think he's so athletically capable. You might be... You know, he's actually quite quality going forward with his passing ability, so you lose that. But I would like to see him at centre-back. And again, he's come in and had another fantastic performance. And you feel sorry for the likes of Cortez and Silva because the pitch was absolutely atrocious. So I wouldn't take too much away from their performances. Cantwell as well, it's not really the pitch to be playing your lovely football. But there again, somebody was putting the comments that they would take 1-0 every single game to the rest of the season. See, personally, I wouldn't. Clermont's up my standards for this club now. I expect to see a good performance along with a result. I don't expect to see us getting through games by the skin of our teeth like the other half of Glasgow. I expect us to go and put teams away now, and that's what the manager's instilled, and he's brought back that mentality that we had in the 55 season.
Connor, just before we go to Connor, Robert, I was speaking to one of the young lads that I drove down to the game on Sunday. And I was speaking to him about, you know, title challenges and, you know, what's coming. And I says, look, there was times during, you know, that, because we were obviously speaking about 9 in a row at the time. And I was like, look, none of those, there was times in that games, that sort of seasons where we were horrible in some games, but we won. At this stage of the season now, it's about 3 points. Okay, performances are, you know, you would like a good performance as well. But the paramount now is from now till the end of the season is the 3 points in every single game.
Colin, I just want to come to you on a point, because Lewis says there about Dujon Sterling playing him at centre-half, that's something he'd like to see. I've just seen people in the comments when we were talking about Lauren Shankland saying, right, get Balogun back in. I know he played in the game against Carlisle today for the B team. Get him back in come the weekend and play him alongside Suter. This is, let's bear in mind, the best defence in the league, okay, statistically. However, there's still this dilemma about who plays at the back and concern over individuals.
I mean, there is. Although, as far as it concerns with Conor Goldson, it's only really a dilemma in the fan base. It's certainly not a dilemma for Philip Clermont, because, you know, he has started, I think, barring one game that he was suspended or injured for, he started every game under the Clermont regime, as he had done under, you know, the previous regimes as well. So he will be starting. You know, your two certainties at the back are James Tavernier and Conor Goldson, barring injuries. Where I think, you know, for me, I'd be sticking with Goldson and Suter just now at the weekend, just in the front that I think they've been doing okay. You know, all right, okay, the goal they conceded against County, could have dealt with better, but in general terms, I thought they looked really dealt with. Although St Johnstone didn't throw much at us, they dealt with anything that was thrown at us at the weekend. And Balogun, he's only just coming back off of a pretty nasty injury. He's on the bench and that's great, and we'll have his face mask and stuff, but you know, you don't need to rush into that when you've got players who are playing okay just now, they're doing well. So for me, that would be where I'd be going. No change I'd make at the back line be this weekend to midweek would be Ridvan for me. He would be my starter. But, you know, as I say, it's funny because we all, you know, you pick the bones out of it, and listen, we all know there's certain mistakes in there at times that get made, but, you know, it's usually a long ball over the top or whatever that we've struggled with once or twice. But in general terms, we've got the best defensive record in the country this season. And you wouldn't know it, because we as a fan base are constantly having these conversations and divisions around who our best start lineup is. But I tell you what, I'd certainly rather have the defenders that we've got available to us compared to what they've got on the other side of the city. 100%.
Listen, another Ian on the line. Ian in Hampshire. Ian, welcome to the Rangers Ramble podcast.
Hello, guys.
How are we doing?
Very well, mate. As all fellow Bears will be at this time, you know.
I know, mate. You're telling us. Listen, delighted to have you on. What's your point for the guys?
In the last few games where Clermont's switching out between Dessers and Silva, do you think we need to change the formation a wee bit when Silva's playing? the 4-2-3-1 seems to work a treat when Dessers is holding the ball up and he's got runners gone beyond him. But I just feel that the low, we're going back to the low block kind of struggle when Silva's on, because he's dropping back too deep. You know, maybe we need to stop trying to do the 4-2-3-1 and try something different when Silva's on.
Well, so I come to you because I saw you nodding in agreement there.
I will. I know Big Mark has a massive problem with this opinion, but I've seen enough of him, and I've seen him before coming to Rangers. Fabio Silva is not a number nine, and if he is a number nine, he's a counter-attacking number nine. He's a Marcus Rashford type player up front. He uses his ability in the ball and his pace to break in behind defences. And it's useless a lot of the time at Rangers because we dominate the ball and we're playing against 10 men behind it for 90% of a game, like we did against St Johnston, and that's why he didn't get much joy. I would like to see him out on the left, but for the time being, until Kamar Roof, appears for his hiding spot in the physio department, then he's going to have to take some responsibility for Dessers, because Dessers can't play every game. It's just not possible for either of them to do that, so it'll need to be a makeshift number nine. But I wouldn't change the formation. I would just try my best from Clement to coach Silva to play the way that we want him to play, rather than trying to coach the entire team to play differently. But I do agree. I don't think it suits Silva playing in that position that much for Rangers right now. I think Dessers is probably the preferable choice as the sole number nine. It doesn't mean that Silva can't be useful elsewhere in the pitch.
Ian, Dessers, we saw comes on, squanders two very, very good chances, which you'd probably hope your striker would be putting away. Is that maybe why Silva is getting put in and out?
Well, I've not really been that impressed with Silva's efforts either, to be honest, mate. But it's a Cyril Dessers effect, isn't it? He's going to take every single world of opportunity then when it's glaring in the face there, you know, he's just absolutely useless, man.
Brian, is it a case that Philippe Clement is, you know, we can't argue any other case than the fact that he's getting it right at the minute, whatever he's putting in there, whoever he's playing, or winning games of football, top of the pile. You know, it's going to be in and out, I think, from now until the end of the season. I don't think anyone's going to nail that jersey down, are they?
I think he's going to use the squad as he sees fit. He's going to use them for certain games. He's going to use them for certain, you know, opponents, type of game. He'll probably, I wouldn't be surprised if he alternates pretty much game to game now. It's as Lewis says, though, he's not a number nine Sylvain, isn't it? I don't think he professes to be. But This is the predicament we're in now. We've only got two players that are able to play number nine. And if we had any form, what irks me just now is the fact that there's three teams in Scotland that have got a better number nine than us, and that really annoys me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Really greatly. For the life of me, I can't believe there's actually three teams that have got a better nine than us, but that's the position we're in, and it really, really annoys me.
Well, Ian in Hampshire, thanks for your call. Anytime, big man, thank you.
Cheers, guys, all the best.
No worries. Cheers. Okay, then, listen, don't forget to like and subscribe. If you are watching us on YouTube right now, it does help the podcast. It puts us out there on all these different algorithms, so please do that if you can. And also, 0141-628-7237. Get some more calls in, get you on and chat to the boys. I was going to say there, Brian, just on your point, maybe is that not flipping that the other way down, is that not credit to the manager that, okay, he doesn't have the best players at his disposal in the division, but we're still doing it, still getting over the line. And it's not even like, you know, the toiling performances, you're seeing game on game, you know, a real sort of collective, and we're getting better and better. last few few years have been very much ill, we've got Shankland. Well, yeah, ifs and buts, certainly, but, you know, we didn't get Lauren Shankland, we've got to deal with what we've got.
Correct. That's the fact. That is a simple fact of the matter. We've got to deal with what we've got. But no, the way Clermont is getting a tune out of this team where we lost three of the first seven games and the season looked over there, right there and then. So, I mean, for him to have inherited the squad, added three players to it and get a tune out of this squad, which pretty much I think everybody was wanting gutted from top to bottom, apart from the goalkeeper. So it's quite remarkable how we've managed to turn this whole season around to looking like a write-off to suddenly now 2 points ahead, potentially five ahead at the weekend for 24 hours, certainly. Top of the Europa League group, League Cup winners, still in the Scottish Cup. I just love Clermont. Love him.
That's a Magaluf tattoo this summer, isn't it? If we can get strikers win you games, defences win you the league. Absolutely love that. just finally, Lewis, on the weekend, you know, we spoke about this last night, just at the end of the Scottish World podcast, but I want to get your opinion on it. Nico Raskin, he also played a part, I think, today in the game against Carlisle when a piece that finished. He didn't look like he was in the huff by any means, but certainly looked the face of contemplation. A lot to think about for Nico Raskin at the moment.
Well, he should be, because he's not been performing since the return he's made from the injury. You know, I think a lot of Rangers fans have been very quick to shun Raskin and you know, be happy that he might leave or not be a part of the squad. But if you are thinking long-term as a football club, then surely Nico Raskin has to be part of your plans, and John Lundstrom long-term, shouldn't he be? Because one's 30 and one's 22. You know, we made a decent investment in Nico Raskin, and he should be somebody that we should be looking to make a profit on going forward. And he is a very, very good midfielder. Like, we've seen it. Him and Cantwell were the only shining lights in the, you know, the dying embers of last season. And he's a really quality footballer. And like I've said, you know, long-term, ideally, Nico Raskin and Mohamed Diamande would possibly be your midfield too. And John Lundstrom and Tom Lawrence, both north of 30. So, you know, let's just take the breaks. We don't necessarily need Nico Raskin to be performing right now. Let him come back from injury. You know, I've seen somebody saying he's honking. That's just no true. That's just lies. He's a phenomenal little midfielder. And at his age and the pressure that he had coming in here and he performed like just so well. He's having a bit of a tough season. Who hasn't he? And unlike the rest of the team, he was injured when we started really kicking into gear. So just give him a chance. Sometimes we're a wee bit too quick to you know, just say that somebody's not good enough. I think he is good enough, and he's 22 years of age. He'll perform better.
Brian, you wanted to come in on Nico Raskin, didn't you?
Yeah, he was getting a lot. Well, he was certainly getting his sort of, the fans were singing a song, you know, a song about him, and he was beating his chest, and I think he was very appreciative, and he was smiling, and he looked genuinely sort of, I think he was just pleased to be involved in the match day squad and getting, you know, legs in his minutes, sort of minutes in his legs. As Lewis says, though, he's had a bad injury, he's just come off it, and you've got to give him a little bit of leeway, because he was playing really well towards the end of last season, and then of course he got his injury. So, but yeah, we've just got to, you know, cut him a bit of slack, as you say. He's only 21, so the prospect of a Raskin from last season and Diamande is very exciting. Lewis is just stirring it very nicely. I'm liking this.
Connor, I'll come to you, because both the lads that have just said about, you know, letting him come back for his injury, which is obviously fair cop, you know, we need to support the boy. But is there a question about his mentality at the moment? We've seen the well-publicised interview and that we've spoke about a couple of times. Is it more a mix of the two? Is it more the injury? Is it more the mentality? How do you see that at the minute?
I think it's probably a bit of both. I mean, look, the injury is a factor, but my only slight thing pushback on that would be the fact that he has been back for a wee while for his injury. It's not like, you know, he's at least a few weeks since he came back now. He's not absolutely fresh as Daisy just came back. And I think, you know, at some point, you have to look at that sort of mentality saying, go right, come on, you know, go and get something out of you. And listen, I do think, I said this yesterday when we did a brief chat about it in the Scottish Football Show, that, you know, he's got all this competition now in that area. Players like Sterling are playing well. Diamandé Costa is coming in. You know, other guys that he's coming up against. Tom Warren's being back fit as well. And Cantwell starting to find form. So he's got a ways to go to actually try and force his way into the starting lineup in some ways, you'd have to say. Because right now, I don't think you could necessarily justify dropping somebody out to put him in for the start. But the way he does that, I think, is by just, you know, focusing himself on getting better. And you know, I think Lewis is right as well about the fact that he's obviously behind the others in terms of the amount of training time he'll have had with Clermont and stuff like that, you know, since we started kicking on. And that's definitely a huge factor in it. So give him more time and give Clermont more time, because I trust the guy, you know, what he's doing. He's a great man manager, Philip Clermont, and you can see that with the relationships he's building with the players, particularly with Cantwell as well. So I'm more than confident that Raskin will sort himself out. And I mean, if he does, happy days. You know, that's what you want. Then everybody's firing. Everybody's looking and competing for those spots in the team. So, you know, the boy's got the natural ability. We've seen that. He just, I think, needs to maybe believe in himself a bit more that he's got that.
Absolutely. Sorry, the bleeping there. Like, I thought, is it me? Is it you? I couldn't put my finger on it. But anyway, listen, we are...
I thought it was your microwave or something. I put a lasagna in and started.
That lasagna get tanned a long time ago, I tell you. Okay, listen, 0141 628 7237. We're approaching the home straight, so get your calls in. We'll have another couple squeezed in before the end of the show. Okay, Brian, I'll come back to you actually, because you mentioned before, just saying how much you love Philippe Clermont, and I've got it written down on a wee bit of paper here. Is he the difference maker? Certainly feels like it.
100% he is. Let's be honest, if we're stuck with the status quo, we'd be even further behind, let's be honest. We'd be nowhere near being top of this league. We'd be nowhere near getting out of the group of the Europa. I wouldn't like to say where we'd be if we still had a former manager in position. So, no, it just goes to show you, when you get a guy who's won leagues, who's a proper manager and knows what he's doing, and is a man, and his man management skills are tremendous. I mean, the way he embraced Cantwell when he came off on yesterday, when he, you know, hugged him and had a word with him, you know, it was pure. I think that was purely for protection, because there were some horrendous tackles going in on Cantwell. Maybe not just only Cantwell, but Cantwell seemed to be getting a lot of the sort of rough tackling yesterday. So I just love everything about him. I love the way he deals with the media. He's just a proper manager, and he's been the guy that we've been looking for a long time.
Lewis, 49 points out of a possible 54 available. Arguably, he's got to be the best manager in your time, purely.
I mean, ability-wise, achievement-wise, you won't be 55 at this moment in time, but if we're certainly going to win a treble, it'll be the best that I've seen in my young tenure as a Rangers fan. But quality wise, he's the best that I've seen. Definitely, he's a really, really experienced manager. He's obviously already had massive achievements in Belgium, and he actually achieved quite well in Monaco. Monaco are a really up and down club in France over the last decade. You know that they are quite quick to get rid of their manager. And he'd done well in his first season there. So I think we're very, very lucky. And he is the, you know, I'll get it in there, he's the quintessential man for the job, Robert. He definitely is.
Wouldn't be a podcast without that, would it, Lewis? Brilliant. Connor, I'll come to you now that the beating's finally stopped in my ear. Money's on that with you. You sneak to me afterwards, but we'll say no more about it. You know, what Lewis saying there, the key word being experience. You know, he's been there, done it, back-to-back league titles in his native Belgium. That sort of, the way he spins that and talking about, this is how you win, you know, you be successful. If you focus on the next game, you focus on yourselves. He's not letting inside noise in. it's just a complete shift to what we've had over the last couple of seasons.
It is a massive shift in mentality to what we've had over the last couple of seasons. And, you know, I said before, I think even the way that we conducted ourselves yesterday, after we win that game and go top of the league, you know, it's not the same over-the-top, exuberant celebrations that we've seen before just because we've managed to get ourselves the upper hand again. You know, it all just seems to be everybody's concentrated. The next game is your biggest game, and you keep taking them off, and that's where you're going. And it's, you can see it's rubbing off on the players, because even after the game, I listened to, you know, James Tavernier doing his post-match after it, and I liked the way that he was speaking as well, because he was saying the same thing. You know, he was asked about our top league now, and it was very much sort of brushing it off as if, look, you know, it's great, whatever, but, you know, the concentration is maintaining that and keeping going, and that's where we should be. I have to admit that, you know, I'm not that much older than Lewis, but he makes me feel like an old man. Because, you know, I mean, the gaffer's put some names in there, and I remember every single one of them. You know, Advocat, McLeish, Walter Smith, you know, plenty of great managers even in my time. And the fact that Clement's the best in Lewis's, which is fair enough, just makes me feel old, because all of them were terrific managers in their day. But, you know, I think, you know, we talk a lot about Tavernier and how you know, we've got to enjoy him while we've got him. I think we've got to enjoy Big Phil while we've got him. So I'm telling you now, that man is on an upward trajectory. You know, we've seen their manager, DeCant, down south this season. I could see Big Phil in the next season or so possibly doing the same thing. So I think, you know, well, we've got and keep them more, you know, running as long as possible.
Just cut out that chat, Connor. None of that.
you're punting here, Andy, and he's chasing Phil Clement to the Premier League.
Chasing fucking Clement away.
Aye, no, we're not having that.
It's just high praise for him.
Listen, we can squeeze one more call in. Get it in, 0141-628-7237. Connor mentioned Lewis, the captain, James Tavernier. Now, it was interesting in the manager's post-match comments, actually, how he spoke about, he did a meeting with Tavernier. He was the first player he spoke to before he came in. And he mentioned the fire. He described it as the place was on fire, and not a good way, by the way. He mentioned, obviously, he spoke about his own performances. And then he was asked about, obviously, the 120 goals, which is horrible, we'll come on in a wee moment. But certainly, that's put me right off. He then went on to discuss Tavernier is more of a, you know, he's more of a defender first and foremost now. That made me think about performances we've seen over the last few games, where Tavernier has probably been a bit better defensively, and I don't think he's getting the credit for that.
I actually think this is the best we've ever seen James Tavernier defensively since Clement's come in. You very rarely see him being spun. You very rarely see him being beat with ease. His positional sense is so much more intelligent, and I think it was necessary because his athletic ability just isn't there where it was 2 years ago, where he could chase back and he could maraud up and down the pitch. He uses his brain when to take the opportunity to go and try and score goals and create goals, and he's still able to do that whilst being very, very solid at right back. You know, if you go on like some of his statistics online, he ranks really highly for people in his position for defensive output for the first time in his career, really. He's always been absolutely elite. There isn't a fullback on planet Earth for the last 6 seasons that's been anywhere near him. Like, you're talking, I think Trent Alexander-Arnold is probably the best in the world, right? He has had less than half of Tavernier's goal involvements in the same time span that they two have been playing together. He doesn't exist. People like James Tavernier, they're no real footballers. You don't get a right-back that scores 120 goals and assists 150. Like, he's honestly verging on one of the best English players to never even get called up for a friendly or anything. Like, it will be a crying shame that that man has never even had one cap to his name. And it's very, very difficult competition. There's a plethora of elite level right backs, I understand that, you know, the likes of Trent, Kyle Walker, Reece James, etc. But it's a crying shame that that man, what he's done in the game, you know, top English goal scorer in Europa League. Wayne Rooney didn't do it, Harry Kane didn't do it. Nobody else has done it. He done it from right back. You know what I mean? And he's just never even been called up for a friendly. It's a shame. It is a shame, and it is because he plays in Scotland, and I'm fully aware of that before I start getting attacked on comments. But he's a phenomenal, phenomenal football player, and definitely, and best right back we've ever had.
The attack seems to be more about your pronunciation of his name other than anything else, to be honest, Lewis, but I'll leave that up to the punters. Brian, you know, three assists in the week, two goals the weekend. It's just massive for us, isn't it? It just gets overlooked.
Tavernier's going to be one of these guys when he leaves us, we're going to be gutted and we're going to wish we had him back. What that man has contributed since he's been here is phenomenal. Assists and goals. I mean, okay, I get that he's maybe not everybody's cup of tea as far as defensively he's concerned, but for a defender to pull out that sort of numbers, and it's quite ridiculous. And for as many penalties as he takes, you know, he scores a good bundle of them. So, you know, that they're crucial as well. I mean, yesterday was crucial in the sense that, you know, the second one was, the pressure was on to sort of get the second one, which would sort of effectively kill the game. And then, of course, he took a second one. Well, as everybody knows, when you're taking a second penalty in the game, you know, it's almost sometimes that you favour the goalkeeper when he's facing the same player because, I don't know, players sort of doubt where they're going to put the ball and, but fair play again, he tucked it away, and it's, I'm going to be gutted when he leaves and when he's not playing for us again, because there's not a chance we're going to have a right back that can contribute assists and goals like him. So it's going to be, we're going to miss him when he's away, and it's going to be a sad day. But I mean, hopefully that's a long time coming. But yeah, it's just that, name a defender that's been so influential goal-wise and assist-wise. You can't.
Even Phil Clement couldn't in his post-match. He said there wasn't a full-back in Europe anywhere near the numbers he's producing. Just to bring it around, Connor, full circles as we wrap things up tonight, do you think that, you know, Brian's in there, you know, how long can we keep him for, you know, when he goes, etc. Do you think Phil Clement can get the best out of him in terms of longevity? You know, he's now chasing down Lee Griffiths for the most goals in the Premiership era. Is that something that's got to be on his mind?
Listen, I'm sure in the back of his mind there will be, but, you know, ultimately, I think he just strikes me as it's more about the team achievements for him. If, you know, whatever he picks up along the way is great, and he will want to do that, of course, because it would be almost, I mean, it is almost absurd to believe that a right back is going to overtake an actual striker potentially to go and be the top scorer in the Premiership era. And even some of the stats I've seen, they showed at the weekend about him being, you know, third highest goal scorer in the sort of modern era for us. You know, I think he's only behind Morelos and Chris Boyd, which is astonishing. Kenny Miller was done too pleased that he surpassed him already. So, you know, but listen, if he can keep getting good performances out of him and get the best out of him, then I absolutely, you want him there for as long as you can. And the thing is, as well, he's had a lot of criticism, a lot has been flung at him over the years he spent at Rangers. And he's, you know, you've got to remember, he came in during one of the hardest periods of time in this club's history. And he's stuck the course. He's been, and he's now, I mean, he's literally now won every trophy he can win, and was within a whisker of lifting a European trophy for us. That, to me, you know, he will go down as one of the great Rangers captains just simply because of those accolades. But he needs, I think, if, you know, before he goes, he wants to achieve all these things and maybe win a couple more trophies with us as well along the way, then he certainly do that. I mean, listen, if he goes and, say he goes and ticks off a treble this year, there's no many Rangers captains have done that either. So these are all the achievements that he can go and pick up, and I'm sure that'll be the motivation. That and the fact that when you're working with a manager like Phil Clement.
Listen, when he goes to pick up a treble, okay, that's the talk I want on here. Donald Rice saying, do you think Lundy needs rest? He's just come on with Tates, but not with Lundstrom or Golson. I think I would like to see it to keep him fresh. Well, listen, Donald, we'll put a pin in that for Friday night's pod, because we'll be previewing the Hearts game. about 7:30. So do have your notifications on for that. Delighted everyone who joined us in the comments. Thank you very much for your support. As always, the callers as well were brilliant. Thanks very much to you guys as well. More importantly, thanks to my panel. Brian, cheers. Connor, brilliant. Lewis, fantastic. And we'll see you again on Friday night. Thanks very much for your time. Cheers. Sports Social Podcast Network.